for all of us being here, Pastor Michelson, but you're very welcome. When Pastor Hook told me that he was not going to be here today, he told me that he wasn't in a regular sermon series, so it would be up to me to kind of decide what I wanted to talk about, and the idea of a gift kind of started running through my mind. Now, there are lots of gifts. There are times when gifts are expected, like at Christmas, graduations, and things such as this. But there are other times when gifts are just given spontaneously. They're planned, and when you think about a gift, it can be almost anything. It can be something that's very precious. It can be very expensive. It can be not very expensive. It can be just a hug or a gift of some service. But I would ask you, have you ever received a gift that's had a profound effect on your life? Think about it for a few moments. Doesn't have to be a big thing at all. It could be. And if I'm going to ask you that question, I suppose I would have to talk about one that I might have received. You know, there are gifts that are cherished and gifts that make a profound effect on your life. I have a gift that I cherish very much. Lola and I were married in 1960. I needed a wristwatch, and for my birthday, she gave me a 17-jewel Bulova wristwatch. I still have it. But when watches came along with batteries, I kind of set it aside because sometimes I'd forget to wind it every day, and then I wouldn't know what time it was. But I do wear it occasionally, so I cherish that gift. But there's a gift, I think, that had a more profound effect on my life. And the reason I say that is because I remember it as though it happened yesterday, and it happened in 1954, and I guess that really dates me just a little bit, doesn't it? I was a senior in high school. I went to a high school that was in town about 14 miles away. It was a high school that had been built by the University of Nebraska for counties in the western part of the state that didn't have high schools. They had dormitories, but there were also people in town who would board high school students, and that's what I did. My parents would take me in on Sunday evening. I would have meals provided and room from Monday morning until noon Friday. And then my folks would pick me up. But on a particular Friday, my dad called and said, "We're not going to be able to get you till after 6 o'clock, so why don't you go ahead and get something to eat before we get you?" So I did. Now, the amount of the gift was $1. $1 bought quite a bit in those days, because the minimum wage was 90 cents an hour. So for a dollar, you could buy, the evening special, or burger and fries and a milkshake, really. So I went down to the local restaurant. It was called the Aggie Inn, because we went to the School of Agriculture, which was the name of the school that was set up by the University of Nebraska. The owner of the restaurant's name was Freeman Hott. The person who gave me the gift's name was Judd Lenz. And I just remember it very distinctly. When I went to pay for my meal, I opened my wallet, and it was empty. During a PE class along in the afternoon, our wallets were supposed to be locked up in the coach's office. Obviously, someone had gotten in and lifted the cash out of everybody's wallet. And as I stood there and I looked at the owner of the restaurant, a gentleman behind me by the name of Judd Lenz said, "Here, Larry, here's a dollar." I offered to repay him sometime, and he said, "No, this is a gift." Now, that may seem like a strange story, but I know that it's had an impact on my life because I remember it, and I hope that it's made me a more giving type person. So when we think about a gift, there are really three elements of a gift, aren't they? The gift itself, the person who gets the gift, and the person who gives the gift. If you've received a gift, you ought to be thankful for it. And if we look to the Bible, we find that there are lots and lots of stories about gifts, and I selected two. The first was in our gospel reading, when Christ, who had come to the Passover dinner, and he knew that within the week or so, he would suffer death on the cross. And while they were reclining and eating, a woman came in and anointed him with a jar of very expensive ointment, oil, perfume, whatever it might be. Someone in the group said, "What a waste. This could have been sold and given to the poor." And Christ said, "No, no. You'll have the poor always. You won't always have me." This lady has done a very beautiful thing for me. He has supported her, and he was very grateful for what she had done. Another situation comes to us from Philippians. You know, Philippians is just four chapters long. You could almost use it as a devotion on any given morning, but it is just loaded with messages of the gospel from the Apostle Paul and the way perhaps we should live our lives. But he thanked the people in Philippi for the gifts that they had sent to him. Bible historians say that this was written by Paul from the time he was in captivity in Rome. And if you remember, Paul did not always ask people to support him as he went around and set up churches. He practiced his own trade as a tent maker. I can just see him sitting there sewing pieces of cloth or canvas together, and while he's doing it, he is doing nothing but preaching the gospel message to people. But in this particular case, he thanked the people in Philippi for all of the gifts which they had given him, even the servant, Epaphroditus, who had brought some gifts, and he had been extremely ill, but he had recovered, and Paul was sending him back with this message. You know, Paul, in that book of Philippians, tells us that for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And that seems rather strange, doesn't it? But he further told them that as long as he lived, he would be able to proclaim the gospel message. But when he died, he knew that he would meet his risen Lord and Savior. So it was important to him to thank them for that gift. Now, the third part of that gift is the person who gives it, or personages. When you think about giving a gift, you spend some time deciding what you're going to give. You probably spend some money on the gift, or if it's a gift of time or service, it takes some of your time to do it. And maybe you plan. But when we think of the greatest gift that we're ever going to receive, we know that it was pre-planned by God. We also know that when we receive that gift, we're going to be passing from this life into the next. And I have to tell you that as we age, some of us maybe look forward to that a little sooner than others. The body fails, so does the memory, etc. But what a wonderful thing to think about, to know that that greatest gift is there. It is coming to us, either when we pass, as I said, from this life into the other, or at Christ's second coming. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, in his name, amen. And out of gratitude for every gift that God has given us, we give some of it back in our offering.